Time now for a crash course on state politics in our state capitol report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, February 17th. You will have an opportunity to weigh in on tax cuts and tax policy with Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish coming up after 7:30 in our state capitol report. But first, let's get up to date on what's been happening in the state legislature and vicinity with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So what's been happening? The legislature has been dealing with these proposed tax cuts, and the assembly did last week pass Governor Walker's tax cuts?
They did, yeah. And, you know, these are not going to be the final version. The Senate still hasn't weighed in with its changes, but this is pretty close to what the governor proposed in his State of the State address. You know, the centerpiece being like $400 million property tax cut, about $100 million income tax cut for the lowest bracket. That's all intact in the version that the Assembly passed last week.
Well, let's talk. Why don't we talk about this, what the Assembly passed last week, since we're talking to Rebecca Clayfish coming up after 7:30.
Yeah, so, you know, normally this would be a thing when Republicans are in charge of both houses. They kind of wait till everybody's on board in the Senate and the Assembly. The Assembly wanted to move ahead on this, didn't want to wait, and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, as he did when the governor announced these tax cuts a few weeks back, was strongly in support.
We're going to cut taxes. We're going to put more money in the hands of working people all across the state, which will create more jobs and grow our economy even more.
And Democrats are actually pointing toward the Senate, saying, hey, you know, you might want to listen to your Senate Republican colleagues. They have some problems with this, namely that as it stands now, it would increase the state's structural deficit. Here's Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Peter Barca.
He's going to tell you, he probably already did, take out that rubber stamp and just stamp whatever the governor tells you to do. Maybe he's giving you that speech. But be aware, be clear. Your colleagues, the Republicans in the Senate, they're not willing to pull out that rubber stamp.
And the Senate is not going to go along with the Assembly on these tax cuts?
No, not as it stands right now. They want to do something to make sure that the structural deficit doesn't go up. What that might end up meaning is that they just take money that the governor was going to deposit into the state's rainy day fund, about $117 million, and instead of putting it there in the savings account, essentially putting it in the general fund or the checking account, that reduces the structural deficit, doesn't get rid of it, but it reduces it. And, you know, that could be enough to get Senate Republicans, key Senate Republicans on board. I think a big question right now is the longer this thing stands out there is whether it's going to turn into some kind of a mini budget. You know, you have a big bill like this that everybody's sure they're going to vote for. It can tend to have other bills get attached to it. And you already saw that happen a little bit in the Assembly where they attached a tax break for new construction. So, you know, whether that sort of opens the floodgates, we'll see.
Is it unusual, Sean, to have the leader in the Assembly and the leader in the Senate disagreeing on such big policies?
Yeah, and especially in the way that they're doing it. I mean, Speaker Robin Voss has been, you know, fairly verbally critical of the Senate from time to time. And when he announced that he was going to move forward with the Assembly version of this without waiting for Senator Fitzgerald and his members, Fitzgerald wasn't pleased, said that's not the way that we do things in the legislature. Voss kind of came back and said, look, I understand that it's harder for him to get things passed because they have a smaller margin in the Senate. You know, Fitzgerald can only really afford to lose one vote. But then Voss kind of added this caveat.
Neither position is wrong. We're just in different spots. So I don't hold him in some negative light because he can't get stuff done. I hope he doesn't hold me in some negative light because our members want to get stuff accomplished.
And so you haven't heard Fitzgerald exactly coming out and talking about Voss in that way, but he did do something last week that people around the building don't remember happening, you know, in the last couple decades anyway. And that was he sent a letter, Fitzgerald did, to all the rank and file members of the state assembly saying, you know, we're nearing the end of session. If you have something that you want passed, contact my office. It's, you know, that might sound, that, you know, you know, harmless enough. But generally, that's not the way things work in the legislature.
Yeah, the Senate doesn't usually ask the Assembly, what do you want passed?
Right, right. I mean, and especially doesn't ask rank-and-file members going around a leader like that. So, you know, Fitzgerald was asked about that, and he really downplayed it. But he did say, I had 10 Assembly members in my office this morning.
So far, it's resulted in a number of, I think, very productive meetings. I've got a lot of guys over there. They're asking for bills, and some of those bills that they're asking for this morning will be on the calendar on Tuesday.
So that continues, and you know, it boils up on issue to issue.
Well, lots more happened last week, but let's talk about what the Senate is going to be doing this week.
Yeah, it sounds like Senator Fitzgerald said they were going to take up this school accountability bill in the Senate, and that's something that the governor's been talking about for a couple of years now. Lawmakers have been working on for a couple of years now, from kind of one draft to the next. The bill that the Senate is ultimately going to take up tomorrow would be a significantly pared down version, though, from what we've discussed here in the past. Essentially, it would say that these school report cards that are in effect right now for public schools, they would private voucher schools would start sending data to the state for those in 2020. As it stands now, the bill that the Senate's going to vote on would bump that up to 2015. So essentially, it would say that we're going to start measuring all the schools. Senator Luther Olson, Republican chair of the Senate Education Committee, said that that is an accountability bill.
I think, and I will stand by, that this is an accountability bill. It finally holds the schools that have voucher kids accountable. Now, it doesn't hold them accountable because there's no consequences, but at least parents can see what is happening in those schools.
And Senate Democrat John Lehman said not so much.
I hope that nobody will go out in public, including the governor, and say that this is the accountability bill, because it is not. In terms of language on background checks and meetings of governing bodies and testing requirements and teacher licensure, open records acts.
So what are the leaders saying about this? You know, we kind of referenced their ongoing back and forth there. Speaker Robin Voss said that you know, that the Senate bill essentially is meaningless. He called it small ball and said that's not the way he wants the Assembly to proceed.
A failing school should not be allowed to continue. Unfortunately, with the way that the Senate's bill is being drafted, at least the way I've heard about it, a failing school can continue on indefinitely. That is not something that any of us should support, if it's a public school or a private school.
Okay, so it didn't sound too receptive to what the Senate's going to be taking up tomorrow. What Voss and at least some Assembly Republicans want to see is, you know, you would have some type of sanctions for schools who don't perform well, and also a letter grading system for schools. Senator Fitzgerald asked about those sanctions and, you know, the chances of those in the Senate, had this to say.
No, I just don't see it. I don't see the Assembly getting there, let alone the Senate. Anything that has sanctions in it, I think, was kind of not going to happen this session.
So what's going to happen this session?
You're asking about the bullet point in my notes here, school accountability bill going nowhere. I mean, they might pass two different versions in the houses and not come together. I think if they do come together, it sounds like it's going to have to be around this Senate bill that they're going to tentatively take up tomorrow. And that doesn't deal with sanctioning schools. It doesn't really, you know, talk about cutting off funding for anybody, public or voucher schools. It talks about moving up that report card.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about the happenings at the state capitol. And we are welcoming your reactions and your questions for Sean, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We've talked some about the tax cut plan that passed the Assembly. We've talked about this school accountability bill that comes up in the Senate tomorrow. When we come back, we'll talk about Democrats introducing a plan to repeal the gay marriage ban and much more. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine talking with WPR state government reporter Sean Johnson during this edition of Our State Capitol Report. We will also be talking about tax cuts coming up after 7:30 with Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. Lieutenant Governor Clayfish is holding roundtables around the state of Wisconsin, getting input on tax policy and tax cuts. Two will be happening today in Milwaukee, and we'll hear more from her, and you'll have an opportunity to weigh in after 7:30. Sean, speaking of tax cuts, the Assembly last week did pass a constitutional amendment to require a supermajority for tax increases.
Yeah, this would be pretty huge if it were to take effect, but it has the looks of one of those things that's going to get caught up in that back and forth between the Senate and the Assembly, and really the fact that the Senate may not have the numbers for something like this. But it would be a huge deal. It would require a supermajority or a two-thirds vote to raise income or sales taxes in Wisconsin. It was sponsored by Dean Knutson, Assembly Republican from Hudson, who says that government has an unquenchable hunger for revenue.
There's a tax monster that just has an appetite that will not be quenched.
Democrats pretty hard on this. They said, what business do you as legislators have tying the hands of future legislatures when it comes to issues like taxation? That this is, you're going to create headaches for years and years to come. Here's Racine Democrat Corey Mason.
Long after your gerrymandered majorities are long gone, you will have a two-thirds requirement to get anything done. And we've seen what happens in those other states where you have these rules. Government becomes completely dysfunctional.
So it passed the Assembly, but constitutional amendments, any constitutional amendment has to pass the full legislature, then it has to pass it again the next session, then it has to go to voters. So that one's just the beginning, and it may be stuck there.
May stall. What about the state Assembly did pass a constitutional amendment to get rid of the state treasurer?
Yes, and that's another one where it's sort of in unknown territory right now. Senator Fitzgerald's office says they haven't sat down to talk about it yet. It would get rid of the state treasurer, not the treasurer and the secretary of state, as previous versions have talked about doing.
Will there be a separate one for the secretary of state?
It sounds like there could be, mm-hmm. but it doesn't sound like it's going to be coming right away down the pipeline. But the sponsors of this plan say that the treasurer has essentially outlasted its usefulness, especially after this last budget when Republicans, sort of in a surprise move, moved a lot of that the office's duties over to the Department of Revenue, I think. So, the treasurer doesn't have a whole lot that it has to do right now.
Yeah, the state treasurer ran on getting rid of the office, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's not running again. And at the same time, he was pretty shocked when they basically gutted his office. He was not in on that briefing, basically. And despite the fact that everybody knows there's an effort every session to get rid of these offices, you do have people running for him again this time, and the treasurer and secretary of state.
Yeah. Well, speaking of constitutional amendments, back in, 2006, Wisconsin did vote on a constitutional amendment that defined marriage as being between a man and a woman, essentially banning same-sex marriage in Wisconsin. I know a week before last, the ACLU of Wisconsin filed suit mm-hmm. in federal court challenging that ban, and now we have state lawmakers also introducing a plan to repeal the gay marriage ban.
Yeah, and one of those who introduced it was Jocasta Zamarripa. She's a Democrat from Milwaukee, a bisexual lawmaker, and she talked about her recollections of that 2006.
I still remember the day in 2006, cold, chilly November day, when Wisconsin voters did vote, 59% of Wisconsin voters did vote in favor at that time of a ban on marriage equality. And I still remember crying myself to sleep that night.
And also joining her at a press conference introducing this plan to repeal that constitutional amendment was Madison resident Donna Winter. who talked about what this means to her and her partner.
After all these years, how would you like to love someone and not be valued for your relationship when you pay taxes, you work, you do all the things everyone else does?
So this is something where you basically have Democratic unity on this issue. And when Republican leaders were asked how they felt about it, they both stood by the constitutional amendment. Here's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss again.
So I guess I definitely think that the mood in Wisconsin is fairly similar to where it was. There might have been some shift. I'm not going to say that there hasn't been, as the issue has gotten a little bit more more publicity, where sides have hardened potentially on each side. But I think that having something that was less than 10 years ago by wide margins, I don't think it's moved that much.
So if you look at public opinion polls, though, nationally, the public is, you know, getting behind the idea of gay marriage in Wisconsin. The latest Marquette poll, 53% supported gay marriage. And so that's, you know, that's a huge shift from when this this plan passed in 2006. It wasn't a Democratic year, and it passed, with a strong majority. But the public opinion on this issue definitely is turning by, you know, just the measurable numbers that are out there.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Sean Johnson. Sean is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and he joins us just about every Monday at this time for the State Capitol Report, bringing us up to date on what the state legislature is up to and what's happening at the state capitol. If you have a question about anything that's happening or a reaction, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Coming up after the news, after 7:30, we will be welcoming in Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish to talk about tax cuts in Wisconsin. Also last week, Sean, there was the annual State of the Tribes address. What is the State of the Tribes?
State of the Tribes is something that was started, 9 years ago. Every year in the State Assembly, you have a different tribal chairperson address the legislature. This year, it was Lori Bovine of the Menominee Tribe. And one of the issues that she tackled was the school mascot issue, and she took the legislature to task for the school mascot bill they passed and Governor Walker signed into law earlier this year, saying that that would be harmful to children.
Our children should not be subjected to inaccurate representations of their cultural identity.
So Lori Bovine chairs Menominee. The Menominee wants to have an off-reservation casino built in Kenosha. That needs Governor Scott Walker's approval. There was some thought. In fact, her predecessor as the chairperson of the tribe indicated that they would probably talk about that during the speech since it's such a huge issue to the Menominee. But she steered clear of that topic, and she also didn't bring up explicitly the proposed iron mine in northern Wisconsin that is such a big deal to the Bad River Band up there.
All right. Well, in our remaining moments, maybe we should concentrate on other things that are going to be happening this week. The state Senate could take up a bill dealing with phosphorus. What is this?
Yeah, and I haven't seen the calendar yet, but it looks like that might be on there. That's the bill that could essentially provide another way out for, like municipal water treatment plants, places that have phosphate output that they're supposed to decrease under kind of one of the last orders of the Doyle administration.
Because that causes algae in our water, that kind of thing?
Yeah, huge algae blooms, mm-hmm. really kind of kills aquatic life in mm-hmm. Wisconsin's lakes. So this would essentially give them another way of meeting goals that were laid down a few years ago. That could be up. There's also something we know is going to be up in the Assembly tomorrow. This plan that would have, when it was initially introduced, significantly weakened the power of circuit court judges to block laws that they find unconstitutional. It basically, because you've had this come up recently, and that's the reason you had this bill. You had circuit court judges, namely judges in Dane County, who blocked the Act 10, the collective bargaining law, blocked the voter ID law on a couple occasions based on findings that these were unconstitutional. So You know, they were enjoined while the court cases proceeded. Republicans felt that shouldn't be able to happen. At least Republicans in the assembly did. And so they passed a bill that would have said, as soon as those things are appealed, you know, that the law is in effect until it gets to the state Supreme Court. So this is a huge step back from that. It essentially scraps all that idea that you're going to, you know, take away the power of a circuit court judge. And it just says that these are immediately appealable, which in a way they are now.
Well, less than a minute, the assembly is also going to consider a resolution calling for a constitutional convention on a balanced budget.
Yeah, time to read up on Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, I think. I mean, it's kind of a significant step. It would take, you know, action from other legislatures around the country, but that's what they're talking about tomorrow.
Well, lots going on. We'll get updates, I'm sure, next week. Thanks a lot, Sean.
All right, thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. And stay with us. We'll check news, and then we'll be back, and we will welcome in Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish and talk about tax cuts. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.